When God closes a door, we must trust that He sees things that we do not see, and that His timing is always perfect. Besides, Jesus is your doorkeeper, the true one, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Do you need God to open the right door for you? Jesus taught us to pray and told us to knock and it will be open to you. So don't stop praying. Instead, keep asking, seeking, and knocking on heaven's door. The Apostle Paul kept knocking and praying for ministry direction until a man appeared to him in a night vision and said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." An open door for sure. This was the Holy Spirit's way of saying to Paul, "This is the way, walk in it." I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
When God closes a door, He doesn't always open a window. Sometimes He opens a better door. Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Well, there may not be a better illustration of how God opens some doors and closes others than Paul's second missionary journey. Plenty of practical lessons for us to learn during this season of Paul's life, including some of the ways we can know and discern God's will for our lives. Stay with us now as Ron moves forward in his teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace, or pay us a visit at somethinggoodradio.org where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now with today's message, Open and Close Doors, Paul's second missionary journey from Acts 16. Here's Dr. Ron Jones.
I want to start today with a question, and my question is this: what is God's will for your life? And is it possible to know specifically God's will for your life? For example, as Christians, how should we pick a career or choose a mate or decide where to live? For a lot of people I know, the will of God is one of the great mysteries of the Christian life. In fact, a well-known pastor that I studied under, Charles Swindoll, wrote a book titled The Mystery of God's Will. Is God's will an unsolved mystery? Are we left to grappling in the dark when we try to, determine what God would have for us? Or is it possible to hear the Spirit of God say, as he did to Isaiah the prophet, "Walk in this way. This is the way." Well, I can't begin a message like this without at least giving you a short course on discovering the will of God for your life. All of this will come into clearer focus as we get into our text in Acts chapters 15 and 16. But a short course in discovering God's will for your life looks and sounds something like this. First, pray. Pray and ask for God's wisdom. James chapter 1 invites us to do that. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Pray. Then read God's word regularly. We cannot know the will of God apart from the word of God. Next, seek wise counsel from people who also pray and read God's word regularly. Oh, be careful there. There's all kinds of counsel out there and counselors and therapists. Make sure you're seeking wise counsel from people who are rightly related to God through faith in Jesus Christ, who pray and regularly read God's word. And then learn to follow the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know that sounds mysterious, and sometimes following the Holy Spirit is mysterious, but it's always an adventure. And then finally, I would say, discern God's will through the doors He opens and closes for you. Did you know Jesus is your doorkeeper? You got to write that one down. Jesus is your doorkeeper. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, the Apostle John records a letter Jesus wrote to the church in Philadelphia. And in part, the letter reads, "And to the angel," probably the pastor, "of the church in Philadelphia, write this: the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut who shuts and no one opens. This is a description of Jesus. He's your doorkeeper, child of God. He opens some doors, and those doors that he opens, no one can shut. And he closes other doors, and those doors that he closes, albeit for a time, no one can open. And there's no better illustration of how Jesus opens and closes doors than Paul's second missionary journey. We'll get there in a little bit, but we need to go back and pick up where we left off last time, and that's toward the end of chapter 15 of Acts. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. Let me just summarize. The leaders of the early church skillfully avoided the kind of theological division that could have destroyed the early gospel movement. You might remember that the Jerusalem Council set a wonderful example for us in protecting salvation by grace alone, while also navigating, let's just say, some ruffled relationships. And they navigated those relationships with an equal measure of grace. However, immediately following the conclusion of the Jerusalem Council, we read this. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, Barnabas wanted to take with him John Mark, John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose, are you ready for this? There arose a sharp disagreement. Don't underestimate what happened here. A sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, Paul wanted to return to the mission field. They'd come back, they'd made their reports. He now wanted to return. And so did Barnabas. However, they could not agree on whether to bring along another member of the team named John Mark, because he had abandoned the mission trip earlier. Paul said no, Barnabas said yes. And their disagreement was sharp enough to break up the missionary dream team that had formed. Paul and Barnabas, oh my! The dream team was broken up. And some would say this was a worse breakup than the Beatles. Well, not really, but you get the idea. How could this happen? How could this happen? Especially following the careful navigation of relationships and theology that preserved the unity of the Spirit, all that stuff we read about in the Jerusalem Council. Paul and Barnabas were part of that, but they could not resolve their interpersonal differences. How does that happen? I'm kind of glad that the Bible includes this in the narrative of the early church, because it allows us to let go of any tendency we have to romanticize what happened 2,000 years ago when Christianity was still in the cradle. I've been a pastor for more than 30 years. I can identify with Paul and Barnabas. Sometimes you can work with people, even God's people. Most of the time you can't, but sometimes it's okay to go your separate ways in ministry. And one of the benefits of this, if we can just be positive here for a moment, is that the breakup of Paul and Barnabas, this missionary dream team, created now two missionary teams. Okay? There was one that they sent out, and they came back, and they rejoiced with all their reports. Now the team had multiplied from one to two. And Barnabas took John Mark, who happened to be his cousin, and returned to Cyprus, which was Barnabas's hometown, while Paul teamed up with Silas and went the opposite direction through Syria and Cilicia. Now, what about John Mark? Well, later he became useful in the ministry, and we read in Colossians and 2 Timothy, even Philemon, that even Paul and John Mark had mended their broken fences there. Silas was a respected leader and a prophet in the early church. He was part of the team that delivered the letter from the Jerusalem Council to the church in Antioch. Silas, who is also called Silvanus in other letters, co-authored the letters to the Thessalonians with the Apostle Paul. He also assisted Peter in writing his first epistle. And there was something else that came of this ministry team and missionary team breakup. As Barnabas went his direction with John Mark and Paul and Silas went this direction, Paul and Silas got reintroduced to a young man named Timothy, who becomes significant in the New Testament. Let's pick it up in chapter 16, where it says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. By the way, he's going back to Lystra. He's going back to the place that stoned him. Are you kidding me? Who does this? But the gritty and graceful Apostle Paul. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. Yeah, because now there's a vacancy on the ministry team, vacated by John Mark, right? Now he finds Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And they went on their way through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. Now, God always finds people to do his work. You can get mad and go off this way. As soon as the door hits you on the backside, he's filled the spot. He'll do that with a pastor or anybody. God will always find somebody to do his work. And in this case, he brought Timothy onto the team, a young man who we know from other New Testament books and letters. He was somewhat timid, but he was a great addition to the ministry team that Paul led. Interestingly enough, though, Paul circumcised Timothy. He came from a mixed ethnicity family. His mother was Jewish. His father, though, was a Greek. And you say, well, wait a minute. I thought the Jerusalem Council said you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. It wasn't a matter of salvation. That's right. Paul wasn't making it a matter of salvation, but Paul was also pragmatic. There was a pragmatic side to him. And he knew as they went through these different regions that Timothy wasn't fully accepted by the Jewish community because he came from this mixed race family. But if he was circumcised, that would help. And he was all about, Paul was, taking any stumbling block out of the way of the gospel as he took it from place to place.
Don't go away. We're only about halfway through today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Look for it online at somethinggoodradio.org.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. All scripture is profitable for teaching and reproof. But let's face it, God gave us a lot of scripture. 66 books and more than 600,000 words, and it can sometimes be a little overwhelming to read. That's why I wrote my new book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, to help you navigate your way through the highways and byways of God's Word and see how it all fits together so brilliantly, how every path, every passage, and every page points to Jesus, who is the Christ. The book comes in two volumes. Volume 1 covers the 39 books of the Old Testament, while Volume 2 takes you through each of the 27 New Testament books. Both are now available to order, and I'd love to send them to you today. Here's Brian with details.
The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1 and 2, can be yours today by request for your gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. When you order the print versions, you'll also get instant access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to request the 2-volume set and to gain immediate access to the Route 66 digital library. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Pastor Ron, there are so many good books published every year. Why should someone buy the ultimate road trip through the Bible? And who did you have in mind when you wrote these literary travel guides through the Old and New Testaments?
You know, Brian, your questions make me think of the words of wise Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. Of the making of many books, he writes, there is no end. And oh, how true that is. For what it's worth, as a Bible teaching pastor for more than 30 years, the ultimate road trip through the Bible is my way of helping people understand the overall story of Scripture and how all 66 books of the Bible fit together into a unified work of the Holy Spirit. I wrote with all kinds of people in mind, starting with the serious Bible student, even those who teach the Bible. I'm thinking of pastors, Sunday school teachers, and small group Bible study leaders who might use these 2 volumes in their preparation. But I also wrote for the person who is just getting acquainted with the Bible, which we all know is the best-selling book of all time. Brian, you can read The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible from beginning to end like any other book, or place it in your Bible study toolbox. I know that if you're a lifelong learner of God's Word, as I am, you will return to The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible repeatedly. As companions to your personal Bible study, these books will always help you see the big picture before you dive into the details of any book of the Bible.
That's why I'll be ordering my own copy, Pastor Ron. We're so glad you decided to share this important book with us. And you can get your copy today by going to somethinggoodradio.org. Both volumes of this great resource are yours as our way of saying thanks when you make a gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. In sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's okay to make a few compromises, as long as the thing you're compromising isn't the gospel message itself. With the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Open and Closed Doors, Paul's second missionary journey, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
It would be sort of like if years ago when Catherine and I moved from Dallas, Texas to Washington, D.C., What a cultural change there. I arrived with my Dallas Cowboys jersey on, but imagine me taking it off when I get to Washington and putting on a Washington Redskins jersey. No, you can't imagine that. You can't even possibly imagine that because it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Never. Now, the only reason I would ever do that would be to reach a Redskin with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they all need to be saved today. Every one of them. Later, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, and I think this is what he had in mind. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Hey, listen, without compromising the gospel, sometimes you have to compromise other things that are not essential to the gospel. You have to relax a little bit just to have a conversation with this person or that person. Meet them where they are without compromising the gospel. Now, when Timothy was added to the missionary team, Paul departed for more gospel territory. But he learned a very important lesson about discovering the will of God. Lord, should we go this way with the gospel, or this way with the gospel, or this way with the gospel? How do you make decisions like that? Well, let's read on. Chapter 16 and verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What an interesting passage of scripture. And a bit mysterious. I mean, what's up with these phrases? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. What did that look like? How did that happen? How did Paul discern that? Well, we're really not sure. We're left to our sanctified imagination to understand exactly how the Holy Spirit put the brakes on. But Paul was well-intended about wanting to take the gospel this direction. But maybe God saw the bigger picture. Maybe there was something more urgent over here, or that this had to be put on hold for a while. God desires that people hear the gospel and respond to it and are saved everywhere. But he also has a sense of timing, doesn't he? When God closes a door, we must trust that he sees things that we do not see, and that he has perfect timing. And all of that needs to be factored into the situation. Remember, Jesus is the true one who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Catherine and I have had, many, many experiences over 30 years. Well, at least on those occasions where we thought maybe our time was ending in a particular ministry, and, we said, well, Lord, do you want us to go over here or over here or maybe over here? And you get into a conversation with the search committee and you think, oh, this is it. And then you get the call. No, we went with somebody else. Okay, closed door. Closed door. That could come even with young people who are trying to determine, God, do I marry this person or this person or that person? I am so glad God closed the door on so many dating relationships I might have been in my early years, and then opened the door wide to the woman I've been married to for almost 30 years, okay? It's important to discern those times. As you pray, as you read God's word, as you seek wise counsel from people who pray and also read God's word regularly, as you follow the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes he opens this door and closes another door. And when the vision came to Paul in the night, again, rather mysterious. We don't know exactly what that was all about. Maybe it was a dream, how God works through visions. Who was this man in Macedonia? There's all kinds of speculation. Some say it was Luke. Luke, who wrote the gospel according to Luke. Luke, the physician, who was also the missionary traveling partner with the Apostle Paul. By the way, the pronouns change here from he to we when Paul arrives in Philippi, giving some people the indication it was in Philippi that Luke joined the team. So maybe it was Luke in the vision who said, come to Macedonia. However God chooses to do that, as mysterious as it can be sometimes, as we do our part to pray and to read his word and to saturate our heart with the word of God, to surround ourselves with wise, godly people, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to pay attention.
Do you want to fulfill your God-given purpose? Walk through open doors. God doesn't open them so you can see what's happening. He opens them so you can be a part of what's happening. Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Open and Closed Doors, Paul's Second Missionary Journey. Now let's join Ron for a preview of tomorrow's message.
You see, this second missionary journey is all about open and closed doors. Should we go over here? Should we go over there? Should we go over here? I mean, those are practical, everyday decisions that Christians have to make and ministries have to make. But the most important door that Jesus can swing open is the door of somebody's heart.
That's what God did for the Philippian jailer. He opened his heart to the gospel message. We'll have more on that tomorrow when Dr. Ron Jones shares part two of his message, Open and Closed Doors, Paul's Second Missionary Journey. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.